as, well, let's just get rid of this year. Eventually, it comes in up into now 1944. The end of June 44, I left that camp to go to Singapore. They cleaned out that camp pretty much. The absolutely fit people were taken out of that camp. We left some older people and some ill people, and like that. But they took us out and sent us on a small Japanese ship to Singapore. And from Singapore, we were transferred over to Sumatra. To build a railway. And this is where the bad times happen. This was a real miserable time. They put about 6,000 of us on this railway job, and we lost about 10%. We lost about 600 people on this job, which was not bad compared to what the losses were, for example, on the Burma Railway, where hundreds of thousands of people were lost up there. But still, this we suffered in a terrible climate, no food, no medicine, no nothing, and they just went after us. There was no mercy. And so I worked, but now up here, here's where my language ability came in. These were mixed working parties. The prisoners, for the most part, were Dutch, with some Australian and some British, but it was maybe two-thirds Dutch and one-third British-Australian, but would go out in mixed groups. And the Japanese didn't speak much English or Dutch, so I would go out in charge of these work parties. So now, no heavy lifting for me. The Japs told me what they wanted, and I'd shout out the commands and all of that.
Did you learn to speak some Japanese while you were there?
That was not one didn't learn to speak Japanese. The reason being that the Japanese, the people who had learned Japanese or knew some Japanese, and there were few, they used them as interpreters. And if a soldier did something wrong or whatever, they'd call the interpreter, and the interpreter and the would-be victim, and the Japs had sat out in Japanese, you know, yelling and screaming at them, and the interpreter. So, for example, a fella stole some food, maybe. And so they said, "Why did you steal the food?" So the interpreter said, "Why did you steal the food?" And the fella says, "Because I was hungry." He said, "Because he's hungry." Bam! Hit him, and then, for good luck, hit the interpreter. So the interpreters took a beating. This was just a Japanese mentality. They get mad at the whole thing. So they punch both of them, the messenger. So you stayed with pretty much the numbers. We used numbers with, that was, well, you had to do that, but you couldn't make a mistake. So you had to use Japanese numbers, counting people and like that. But otherwise, it was a mixture of languages. I had a small group of fellows one day, and I had to take them out to, I had to go get some firewood for the kitchen, I guess that was it. So I got these five or six guys, and I came to the guardhouse, so I had to salute them about them, salute them anyway. So I said, "Orokome," that was five men, "Hambokayu," Malayan, "to the kitchen." And that's the way we talked with them. You know, it was a mix like that. So but you had to be pretty careful with them. And I said, we could, you could get in, they'd beat you up on the slightest provocation.